Picture a valley in the Rockies at dusk. The light is going flat, the kind of gray that erases the horizon and turns a solid ridgeline into a suggestion. You are in the soup, or close to it, and the terrain around you is real and unforgiving. Now picture your primary flight display showing that ridgeline anyway. Not as a radar blob, not as a warning that shouts at you 6 seconds too late. As a picture, brown mountains, a blue sky, a river drawn in as a thin ribbon, a runway laid out ahead of you exactly where the concrete actually sits. You cannot see out the window. The screen can see for you. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. We are broadcasting into the middle of EAA AirVenture at Oshkosh. And if you have walked the innovation hangars this week, you have stood in front of a dozen glass panels doing exactly what I just described. Today, we break down the technology behind that picture. Synthetic vision. What it is. Why it changed the small airplane cockpit, and the honest limits nobody puts on the trade show banner. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in a flying life. First solo, private pilot. Instrument rated CFI. The whole journey, one coin at a time, they are beautifully made and built to last. The kind of thing you actually want to hand to someone. AviationSoul.com. So, synthetic vision. What is it, really? Start with the name, because the name is doing a lot of work. It is synthetic. The image on your screen is not a camera feed. There is no lens looking out the nose of the airplane. Everything you see is drawn. It is computer graphics, rendered in real time, from data. And that is the whole trick, to draw a convincing three-dimensional world in front of the airplane. The box needs to know three things with high confidence: where the airplane is, which way it is pointed, and what the ground looks like out there. Where you are comes from GPS, and specifically from a sharpened version of it. Most synthetic vision systems lean on the Wide Area Augmentation System, the Federal Aviation Administration's network of ground stations and satellites that corrects the raw signal. WAS, as we call it, tightens your position down to a couple of meters horizontally, and just as important, it gives you a trustworthy vertical number. Altitude from GPS. That vertical piece is what lets the system draw the ground rising up to meet you instead of just guessing. Which way you are pointed comes from an attitude and heading reference system, the AHRS. And this is a quiet revolution all by itself, so stay with me for a second. For most of the last century, your attitude indicator was a spinning brass gyroscope driven by a vacuum pump bolted to the back of the engine. That pump was one of the least reliable things on the airplane. When it failed, and it failed often, your attitude indicator slowly rolled over and lied to you in the clouds. Pilots died from that failure mode. A lot of them. The AHRS threw the spinning brass away. In its place, you have solid-state sensors, tiny accelerometers, and rate gyros etched into silicon. The same family of chips that know which way you're holding your phone, backed up by magnetometers and fed by that GPS. No moving parts, no vacuum pump. It figures out pitch, roll, and heading from physics and math. And it does it dozens of times a second. Here's what most people miss. Synthetic vision did not just add a pretty picture. It rode in on the back of the AHRS revolution, and the AHRS quietly deleted the single most dangerous instrument failure in light aircraft. The picture got the headlines, the sensor underneath it saved the lives. Now the third ingredient, what the ground looks like. That comes from a terrain database stored inside the box. Think of it as a giant three-dimensional map of the planet, loaded into memory. Every mountain, every valley, every ridge, expressed as elevation numbers on a grid. A lot of that data traces back to a space shuttle mission in the year 2000. The Shuttle Radar Topography mission, which flew for 11 days and radar mapped almost the entire landmass of the Earth. That single dataset is the bedrock, quite literally, under a huge amount of modern terrain awareness. On top of the raw terrain, the manufacturer's layer and obstacle database. Towers, antennas, wind turbines, power lines in some cases, and a database of every runway, positioned and oriented so the system can paint the airport out ahead of you as a set of lines on the ground. Put all three together. Position from WAS GPS, attitude from the solid-state AHRS, the world from the terrain and obstacle database. The processor takes those three streams and 60 times a second, it renders the view your eyes would have if the weather would just get out of the way. The data tells an interesting story about why this matters, and the story is about one specific way pilots die. It is called controlled flight into terrain, CFIT. The airplane is working perfectly. The engine is running, nothing is broken. And a perfectly good aircraft flies into a mountain, a ridge, or the ground because the pilot lost the picture. They did not know the terrain was there. Night, weather, an unfamiliar valley, a mistake about altitude, and the airplane arrives somewhere the pilot never intended. For decades, the fix for the airlines was a terrain warning system that shouted. A synthesized voice yelling, "Terrain, terrain, pull up." It worked, and it saved thousands, but it was an alarm, not an understanding. It told you that you had a problem. It did not show you the shape of the problem. Synthetic vision changed the nature of the information. Instead of an alarm at the last moment, you get continuous situational awareness the whole flight. You can look at the screen in cruise and simply see that the ridge on your left is higher than you are. Not be told. See it. The manufacturers add colored bands and highlighting when terrain gets close, so it still shouts when it needs to. But the baseline is a picture you understand at a glance. And here is where AirVenture earns its place in this story. Because this technology did not trickle down from the airlines. A lot of it bubbled up from the field you're standing on this week. The certified world moves slowly, and for good reason. But the experimental category, the home-built world that Oshkosh was built to celebrate, moves fast. Companies selling electronic flight instrument systems for experimental aircraft were putting synthetic terrain on bright glass screens at a fraction of the price of a certified panel, while the rest of the industry was still arguing about it. A builder finishing an airplane in his garage could buy a display with synthetic vision baked in for the price of a good used car, and he could do it years before that capability was affordable in a certified cockpit. That experimental market did two things. It proved the technology worked in the real world across thousands of airplanes, and it drove the price down the learning curve until the certified manufacturers could not ignore it. Walk the avionics booths in the hangars here, and you can watch the whole pipeline in one afternoon. The experimental gear that will define the next decade sitting a few hundred feet from the certified boxes that borrowed the idea 5 years ago. AirVenture is where you see the future and its own past standing next to each other. Now let's be honest, because Vector does not do hype without the caveats. Synthetic vision has real limits, and misunderstanding them is its own hazard. Limit number one, and this is the big one. In your general aviation airplane, synthetic vision is advisory. It is not certified to fly the airplane down through the clouds to the runway. You cannot descend below your instrument approach minimums because the screen shows you a lovely runway. The picture is a supplement to the approach, not a replacement for it. There is a whole separate category of enhanced and synthetic vision that airlines and business jets use to get operational credit, with cameras and head-up displays and specific rules attached. That is a different animal. The synthetic picture on a typical light airplane panel is there to build your awareness, not to lower your legal minimums by a single foot. Limit number two. The picture is only as good as the databases behind it, and databases go stale. A wind turbine farm goes up in a valley that used to be empty. A new tower gets built. If your obstacle data is out of date, that obstacle is not in the picture, and the picture looks complete and trustworthy while quietly missing the very thing that could kill you. The terrain itself does not change much. The man-made obstacles change constantly. Keep the data current. Limit number three, and this one is human, not technical, complacency. When the screen paints a calm, confident, beautiful world, it is very easy to believe it more than you should. The GPS could be feeding a subtle error. The AHRS could be settling after a hard maneuver. The database could be missing something. A good pilot treats synthetic vision as one input among several. Cross-checks it against the raw instruments and the actual approach, and never lets the pretty picture switch off the part of the brain that stays skeptical. The technology is a tool for awareness. It is not a reason to stop thinking. And there is a subtler trap worth naming. Synthetic vision is so good at showing terrain that pilots sometimes assume it is showing traffic too. It usually is not. Terrain and obstacles come from the database. Other airplanes come from an entirely separate system. Two different data sources, two different jobs. Do not let the confidence from one bleed into the other. So where does this go from here? What's the honest timeline? In one sense, the future already arrived. Synthetic vision is standard equipment now. It ships in the entry-level portable units. It is baked into the tablet apps a lot of you fly with, and it is on essentially every new certified glass panel. The hard part, getting the sensors cheap and the databases good, is largely done. The revolution happened quietly over the last 15 years while everyone was looking at other things. The frontier now is fusion, combining that synthetic database picture with a real camera feed, so the drawn world and the live world blend together and back each other up, adding real-time hazard data on top, so weather and traffic and terrain all live in one coherent view. And on the far horizon, feeding that same rich, machine-readable picture of the world to the automation, so that as cockpits get more autonomous, the airplane sees the terrain the same way you do. The database that started as a pilot aid is becoming a foundation the machine can build on. But the core idea is settled, and it is a beautiful piece of engineering when you take it apart. Three streams of data. Where am I? Which way am I pointed? And what does the world look like out there? Fuse them, render them, and hand the pilot a window that works when the real window has gone gray. It took a space shuttle radar mission, a shelf of silicon sensors, a satellite correction network, and a scrappy experimental avionics industry that refused to wait for permission. And a lot of that last part grew up right here, in hangars like the ones outside this booth. My thanks to the Federal Aviation Administration for the DWO AAS and terrain awareness material, to NASA for the shuttle radar topography mission data that still anchors these maps, and to the avionics manufacturers walking us through their displays on the show floor this week. There's more from the field at radiohangar.com. Next time you fire up the panel and that little synthetic world snaps into place, take a second to appreciate what is underneath it. It is not magic. It is data, honestly earned. I'm Vector. Keep the skeptical part of your brain switched on. And I'll see you next time.